And then this way, we can always reconnect it. This is already possible in countries like Japan, where the users just pay for the amount of information they receive or they send. With this, it is possible to introduce a lot of new applications, a lot of new web pages, which do not contain too much information, so that you can download to your mobile terminal quite easily, and still use all the power that you have in internet. Choose your ticket in a specific theater performance, trade with shares, download music and MP3 format, for example. Many different types of applications, and we have to think now of mobile commerce, which probably will be something that will explode in the very near future.
So wireless devices obviously have great advantages. You can take them anywhere and you can use them whenever you want. Now, one of the persons who's here at the Technical University of Twente and very much involved in wireless objects is Associate Professor Gerard Smith, who is here with me today. And you're working on a special project called Chameleon. Can you tell me what does Chameleon entail?
Chameleon is a project about reconfigurable computing, and we're working on a wireless device of the future. Maybe I can give an explanation. I have a suitcase here with all kinds of equipment I have with me when I go on a vacation or on a business trip. Okay, where do I start? I have a Walkman here for my music and also some audio tapes for the music. Of course, there's radio in there, a picture camera, maybe a picture of your family.
Yes.
More than fits in a suitcase.
And you don't even have your portable computer with you, your laptop?
No, there was no room for my portable laptop in this suitcase. So my dream is one device that does all, that can replace all the things I just spoke about. And that must be one handy device that fits in your shirt pocket. You can take it with you and it runs on a few small batteries. But one of the problems is the energy consumption of this thing. If you use this type of devices, not just for a few minutes like a normal organizer, but continuous, for instance, for listening to music, then this device will take an enormous amount of energy, more than you currently have in your machine. And the fact is that the amount of energy that goes into the batteries will not grow very fast. It will grow at a pace of, say, 10% per year.
So we shouldn't expect too much from new innovative batteries. Basically, we need to look at the device, the handheld wireless device that we're going to make. We're going to have to look for energy efficient things that we can maybe program inside the device, so it's better to use and maybe more energy friendly.
Yeah, what we're thinking of is that you have to design your handheld device in such a way that it is energy efficient. For instance, if I'm using this device for listening to my music, it can switch off the display, or it can switch off the functionality for paying your bill in the shop, or it can switch off a camera if there's a camera inside. And there are more examples. Probably in this new device there will be a lot of different wireless devices in there. A short range wireless device when you are in your office, and a wide range wireless device when you are outside or in a car or somewhere at a place where you're not close to the infrastructure. But there's a limitation on the amount of things you can do wirelessly. If you want to take all your music with you, then you can do this wirelessly, but that might not be, from an energy point of view, very wise to do. What you can do is upload your music at home into your machine, and then you can listen to your machine without using a wireless connection. And that's also a very good idea, to do it on an energy efficient way.
Now, of course, a very important part of all this new technology that's coming about is chip in the center of this machine. Now I'm here with Professor Bram Nauta. Where are we going to?
We're now going to the MESA test center. It's a quite clean place.
This is where we measure our chips we've designed.
Yes, and I see an awful lot of computers and people working.
Yes.
Can you just show me what kind of tests do you do with the new chips you are devising?
Yes, we design chips. They are fabricated at companies because it's too expensive to do it ourselves. Making one test chip costs about 100,000 guilders, so that's pretty much for us. So we get them almost for free from companies. When we get them back, we first put them under the microscope to see if we have the right chip, because from a distance they all look the same, the structures are too small. And then we want to learn if what we've made, what we get back from the factory, if that's what we expected.
So can you take me to one particular test station and tell me what exact aspect of a chip is being tested here?
Yes, it's good. Let's follow me now.
You've got a beautiful, very powerful microscope on top of a big dish with lots of nice surface changes. It's a metally kind of dish. What are we looking at?
We're looking at a wafer. A wafer is a piece of silicon. It's round. It looks like a compact disc, maybe without a hole. And you see a lot of squares on it, and those are microchips. And normally you saw a wafer into pieces and put them in plastic and then into products. But we keep the wafer as it is. And then with small needles, we inject currents and voltages, and we measure voltages and currents. And in order to put the needles on the right places, we need a big microscope, otherwise it's too small, so we cannot do it. And if you look through the microscope, then you can see the structures and the pins pointing at the contact places.
Yeah, let's have a look. Oh, it looks quite colorful, I have to say, with lots of small squares, and the very tiny needles here look like, well, big trees almost. They're huge. What kind of chip am I looking at?
This is a test chip with a lot of test structures, and what we measure here is in fact just one transistor or two transistors, where we look at the noise behavior of a transistor. And we recently found out that if you switch on and off a transistor very quickly, that a certain noise contribution removes a lot. And that means that you can basically make radios which produce less noise by itself, so they become more sensitive, and that saves battery.
Now, if you would like to devise, for instance, for the project Mr. Smith is working on with the help hand personal device,
yep,
that can do everything,
yep,
if you had to devise a chip for that, because that might, you might have to do that in,
yep,
the future,
yep,
what are one or two key elements that need to be changed on the current generation of chips?
They need a much more complexity on board. So in fact, things must become smaller. But in fact, that's the whole world is working on. It's all those companies, leading companies in the microelectronics, they are working on those generations, and they are building factories being able to make those chips. So it's just a matter of time.
And these particular chips that are produced for future products, basically, they will be in some ways quite versatile, won't they?
Yes. Now, in the chip, there's one function. It can be a microprocessor or whatever. But things must become more flexible, so the software determines what the hardware is doing. For example, a telephone which accepts more than one standard. So if you arrive in a country, then the telephone recognizes the radio waves, where he is, and then changes, for example. That's gonna happen.
Now, all these new wireless devices that are to come will obviously also impact our society quite a bit. And of course, we already know with the mobile phones, people use them here, there and everywhere. You can listen in on people's private conversations because people happen to use them in the train. Now, what will that mean when actually more and more wireless devices will be used? And here with me is a professor of philosophy, Philip Breij, from the University in Twente. What's going to happen to society in general with all these new devices?
Well, the impact can be expected to be quite large, certainly at least as large as the impact you already see from mobile telephones, from internet, and from PC use in general. And people will be pleased with part of it, which is that they have more freedom, they will have more flexibility, and they have more chances to make choices to use their time efficiently and to do what they want. On the other hand, it's also difficult for people because they will have to find new structures. They will experience the loss of these boundaries between the different spheres of life, work, leisure, living. So they may experience a kind of loss of themselves, and they may experience a lot of stress from that. I call that techno-stress.
Because of the new technology that has come about. Mm-hmm. What can people do about it to maybe fend off this techno-stress if it will hit them?
I think awareness, of course, is the first accept awareness that you don't want to let the sphere of work dominate the other spheres that are also important for you. So you want to really think about limiting the sphere of work and also keeping intact the sphere of living, the sphere of leisure, and even of traveling without doing work. And different kinds of rules and regulations and technologies can be helpful with that. With a good design, you can make sure that, for example, your work is not available during certain hours to you. And that can be, for example, part of the technology even.
Professor Philip Bray of Twente University. And there's more information on wireless technology at our Radio Netherlands internet site. The address is www.rnw.nl.